Let me start by asking a question. How many of you have heard this story before? Many of you. See, my parents are Christians. I grew up in the church. I don't remember a time when I did not know this story. It's a classic Sunday school story. There are Sunday school songs about Zacchaeus, the wee little man, who climbed up in a tree. And I think it appeals to kids so well. Well, first of all, because it's a great picture of this little man, you know, trying to look over the crowd and running around to the tree and climbing up. Because kids often find themselves in those positions, right, where they can't see what everyone else is looking at. And growing up in a place where there were lots of trees, my friends and I used to climb them regularly. So this story just resonated with us on a variety of different levels, at least in terms of the climbing trees. But now, as an adult, what I really love about this story is just the profound teaching by Jesus on money and our relationship to it. You see it there in verse... Oh, where is it? It's in verse... It's not there. There is no profound teaching by Jesus on our money and our relationship to it, is there? Jesus says, "Hi, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house." Profound transformation in this man's life. No book on the four spiritual laws, no two ways to live, no praying, any sort of prayer. Jesus says hello, introduces himself, goes and spends the afternoon, perhaps over lunch, and this guy's life has changed. I hope you enjoyed the sermon. Well, what's going on in this story? Something must be happening here. Well, let's start at the beginning. Jesus enters Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. Now, Jericho was a city that was incredibly wealthy in the ancient world. It was a major trade route, or on a major trade route, and it supplied wood, particularly balsam wood, to the whole Roman Empire. It was a wealthy city. Now, you may or may not know anything about tax collectors back in the day, but these people were not very well liked. In fact, they were despised. They were the dregs of society, despite the fact that they were often very, very wealthy. The problem with the tax collector was not just that they were taking taxes, but the way they would get the job would be to declare that they could give the highest amount of money to Rome. So let's say Charmaine and I were trying to apply for a job of being a tax collector. Charmaine would say to the Roman officials, "I can guarantee £5 per person per month." And the Roman officials would say, "Oh, that sounds pretty good. How about you, Paul?" And I'd say, "I can guarantee £6 per person per month in your pocket." And they'd say, "Excellent, Paul, you get the job." The more money coming in from them. But see, that's the money that I have to give to Rome. I still haven't covered my expenses, any employees that I might have. I certainly haven't, you know, made any money for myself. So, well, £8 per person per month, six of which I give to Rome. But that's just covering my needs. You know, I need to make money. I need to actually make a profit, not just live hand to mouth. £10. And as I go along, then I realize that I've got the entire force of the Roman occupying army on my side. If people don't pay your taxes, people like you don't pay your taxes, I can get you thrown in jail, or if the debt goes high enough, I can have you sold into slavery. £15 it is, six of which goes to Rome. I get all the rest. You understand why these people weren't liked. You understand why these people were despised. Zacchaeus was not just a tax collector, he was a chief tax collector. He was stealing from his own people, and he was a Roman sympathizer because he was helping them make money. So it says that he was rich. Given the little snapshot I just gave you about the wealthy city of Jericho and the way this guy made his money, there's nothing he could be other than rich. He would have to be terrible at his job if he was anything other than rich, or he'd have to be an honest man, which would mean that he would never have been a tax collector in the first place. The people of his town would be horrified that 2,000 years later, we all know his name and children sing songs about him. This was the worst guy around. And he's a small man, the wee little man of the children's song that I grew up with. Jesus is planning to pass through Jericho. And so Zacchaeus just decides, well, I need to go and see who this guy is. He can't get through the crowd. And I'm sure even wading into the crowd, considering how unpopular he would have been, would have left him, you know, with bruised ribs and a variety of other ailments, as people all sort of took their shot while the crowd was pressed together. So he runs up into a tree. And let me tell you, I was shocked to find this out this week. The sycamore fig tree is very closely related to the mulberry. It certainly is an easy tree to climb and is often planted by the roadside. Who knew that someone actually wrote a book called Plants and Fruits of the Bible? I certainly didn't, so I had to quote it for you. Perhaps not surprisingly, it doesn't have any reviews whatsoever on Amazon. Apparently enough of you aren't buying Plants and Fruits of the Bible. But he runs up a sycamore tree. And Jesus gets to the spot, and instead of just passing by, instead of just continuing on his conversation, which he was probably having, perhaps teaching as he walked along the road, and Zacchaeus was hoping to maybe overhear a little bit of that, Jesus stops, looks up, and calls him by name. "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." Not, "I'd like to stay at your house." "I must stay at your house today." So Zacchaeus comes down, welcomes him gladly, welcomes him joyfully. Once again, Jesus is the guest of a sinner, and the people mutter. We've seen this before in the Gospels. People are always muttering about who Jesus is spending his time with, almost to the point where it begs the question, well, Jesus is coming into the town. Who is the lowlife he's going to be spending time with today? But it happens over and over again, because that's what Jesus is about. Zacchaeus, on the other hand, we see, is contrasted with the people. They're muttering about Jesus, but, verse 8, but Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." And the sense is, look, Lord, I'm already doing this. Here I am giving money to the poor. You can imagine the line starting, or the queue starting to form out of Zacchaeus' house as the possessions start disappearing off the walls. The transformation in Zacchaeus' life has been amazing. Half his possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anyone out of anything, sort of an implication that, yeah, I've probably cheated a lot of people out of a lot of stuff. If I've done that, I'm going to give them four times the amount. This is extravagant. What the Jewish law actually required was that if you cheat someone out of something, you pay back restitution in full and give them another fifth of the amount. The law requires 120%. Zacchaeus goes, let's go with an even 400%. The transformation is staggering. We also get a little bit of a sense of just how rich this man was. If he can give away half of what he's earned, half of what he possesses, as well as paying people back 400%. His change of heart was dramatic, and it was demonstrated by his actions. It certainly wasn't about the letter of the law for Zacchaeus, but it was about an overflow of generosity, even extravagance in his response. It's an extravagant response to God's love experienced in the acceptance of Jesus. Zacchaeus has never known acceptance. He certainly wasn't a person who is accepted by people in their society. Maybe by the other tax collectors, but even then he was their boss. He was the one who was collecting money from them as they were collecting money from everyone else. And all of a sudden, here's Jesus showing him what God is like. And his response is extravagant. So Jesus then says to him in verse 9, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham." Now, he was talking to Jews, so certainly everybody around was a son of Abraham. But it wasn't just about ethnicity or about genetics, but it was in terms of faith. Zacchaeus was putting his faith in Jesus. "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." So, a fairly straightforward story. Well, what does it tell us about our money? Our title is Jesus the Finance Director. Well, this story, I hate to say it, isn't actually about money. It's only about money insofar as Zacchaeus has it and gives it away. What the story is about is identity. The thing about money comes in because the money is where Zacchaeus had placed his entire identity. Until, of course, he encountered something else entirely different. Until he encountered Jesus, and then absolutely everything changed in his life. See, his self-confidence, his security, in fact, the entirety of his identity had been built on his money, his ability to make money. But when he met Jesus, all of a sudden the money was unimportant. It didn't matter because his identity was found somewhere else. This Jesus accepted him. This Jesus showed him that God accepted him. And the money wasn't important anymore. And his response to this profound shift in his attitude or in his understanding of who he was absolutely extravagant. We just sang the song, "Oh, my words could not tell of the depth of love that is owed by this thankful heart." Zacchaeus epitomizes that. I'm sure he would have sung that song had it been written that long ago. But what he could understand of what the depths of love were owed, he gave. So the obvious question is, where is your identity? Where is my identity? Is it in money because you may have a lot of it? Is it in money because you don't have enough of it? Possessions? Talent? You're a good-looking group here today. Perhaps it's physical appearance. What is it where your identity is found if not in Jesus? Because just as Jesus came to Zacchaeus and offered him acceptance, so Jesus comes to you. Through accepting you, shows you God's love. As you and I encounter the welcome and the acceptance of God through Jesus, may our response be as immediate and as extravagant as that of our brother Zacchaeus. Amen.